Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference. Time is of the essence, daylight savings time. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and will include a live question and answer session. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to PJ Barron, Business Unit Executive, Application Development Tools for the Americas. Please go ahead.
Thank you. I'd like to first thank everyone for joining us today and having the patience. We have had an overwhelming turnout for this, and we wanted to make sure we got all the lines open so you could all hear this event. Obviously, it's a major change, the U.S. Energy Act, first time in 20 years, a change to daylight savings time. So we want to make sure that we share this information with you and hopefully offer a solution for you. Today's speakers will be Dan Brown. He's a SystemZ Certified 80 Tools Americas Specialist, and Al Tortoriz, our Senior 80 Tools Technical Sales Specialist. I'd like to turn the call over to Dan.
On behalf of IBM, thank you for attending the teleconference today. Today's topic will be Time is of Essence. This is in regard to the U.S. Energy Act changes in regard to daylight saving time. Going to chart number 2, as mentioned before, my name is Dan Brown. I'm a 80 Tools America Specialist. Joining me today will be Al Tortoriz, a Senior 80 Tools Technical Sales Specialist. The agenda for today will be a discussion on what is daylight saving time all about, what is the application time facility going to do, and potential next steps. Going to slide number 3, daylight saving time changes. What is a daylight saving time change? We'll be going in a little depth on that today. What is the potential impact with an enterprise? In addition, what is IBM doing, and what should each enterprise do? Going to slide number 4, what is the daylight saving time change? The U.S. Energy Act of 2005 extends daylight saving time by 4 weeks. This is the first change in 20 years. It's intended to reduce energy consumption. Beginning in 2007, daylight saving time starts second Sunday in March and ends the first Sunday in November. The locations that are affected are the United States, Canada, and Bermuda, and other countries that have time or date-dependent transactions, applications, or support services with countries that are changing daylight savings time, which could have a broad impact. Industry-wide issue, its required system changes may be widespread. Going to slide number 5, what is the potential impact with an enterprise? The impact exists in enterprises that perhaps use automated calendar or scheduling functions, utilize date or timestamps within their applications, process or manipulate dates or times. This not only affects software, but it can affect operating systems, hardware, and firmware. Going to slide number 6, what is the potential impact within an enterprise? We've listed a few examples in cases that the daylight saving time change could apply. Enterprises that have systems anywhere in the world that support users, transactions, or applications interacting with systems in countries changing daylight saving time may be impacted. Systems dependent on accurate sequencing of transactions. Systems or applications with built-in rules about daylight savings time. That would include applications that have embedded daylight saving times rules. Standardized code libraries that keep daylight saving times rules. Could apply to calendar or mail applications that automatically change for daylight savings time. And one of the biggest issues is being in compliance with Sarbanes-Oxley federal regulations to make sure everything is timestamped correctly and that you get the correct results from your applications. Going to slide 7, what is IBM doing? IBM is providing software for testing ZOS applications with simulated time to ensure correct results. This means that a customer can test with a simulated time, moving the time forward by 1 hour, and then running those applications that are time sensitive to make sure that you get correct results. IBM is also providing a new daylight saving time support site for clients and partners, which we've listed here, that has more detail on the IBM supported products that are affected, availability of product changes with links to technical notes, and additional reference information such as facts, executive presentations, white papers, and the like. We're also notifying U.S., Canada, and Bermuda clients so that they are aware of the potential impact of the daylight saving time change. Going to slide number 8, what should each enterprise do? They should assess their environment for the likelihood and potential impact of the change. All IT systems may be impacted, so assessments should include software, hardware, and operating systems from any supplier. Customers should also determine which key business processes are time-sensitive. Customers should also develop enterprise-specific action plans, determine where product changes need to be made, match product change availability with maintenance windows to mitigate the impact, and above all, test their systems and applications prior to the actual date of time change to ensure that you get the correct results. Going to slide number 9, IBM offers the IBM Application Time Facility to set a virtual date and or time. This could be set for individual subsystems, the entire system, and it also allows you to test your applications, moving the time or manipulating the time and or date to see if you get correct results. At this time, I'd like to hand it over to Al Tortorese, who will take you through a high-level presentation of the Application Time Facility. Al?
Thank you, Dan. What I'd like to do is go to the next slide, slide 10, and talk about what we're going to be discussing over the next several minutes. We've got an overview of the product, who would use Application Time Facility, and what does it do. We'll then take a look at actually how it's going to work. We'll see some screen images and a number of different ways of setting up the date and time simulation, and then we'll discuss some additional topics. Let's go on to page 11. First, we're going to take a look at the overview. Let's go on to page 12, please. Who would use Application Time Facility? Well, it's really designed for application development, application programmers, systems programmers, but it can also be used by testing personnel, QA personnel, people who don't have a very strong programming background. It's an ISPF-like product. It's based off of ISPF, very easy to use, very easy to learn, and not a great deal of commands to have to learn. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 13. Application Time Facility does allow the user to simulate a new system date and or time. When the product is first installed, there is a default value that's set up so that it's very easy to code into any existing execution JCL any new changes for date and time simulation. You can isolate individual applications or multiple applications across an entire job stream. Application Time Facility can be used across an entire environment, such as CICS. All the transactions, all applications that are running within that CICS region can have a simulated date and time. Same goes with IMS. It does allow for easy repeating of test cases, so you can do tests over and over again to make sure that things are going to run successfully over several different periods of time. Now, we're focusing today on the issue of daylight savings time, but this product can also be used very successfully for any date and time-sensitive application, specifically for quarter-end processing, month-end, year-end processing, to see how the application will run. For example, when you go from December 31st in 1 year to January 1st of the next. There is negligible performance impact. There's not a whole lot of overhead that is required for Application Time Facility, and it does use existing security, plus, you'll see this a little bit later, there is a user exit that can be set up by the customer for additional security. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 14. As with all of the other application development tools that are offered by IBM, this is one product for all languages and all environments. You see here a list of all of the languages that are supported. There are no extra charge options with Application Time Facility. We support all the different versions of COBOL, both LE and non-LE, Assembler, PL1, Fortran, C, and C++. Let's go on to the next slide. Slide 15 shows the various environments that are supported. We can supply virtual date and or time through batch jobs within the JCL, TSO user IDs, CICS started tasks, IMS, and DB2 applications. And, of course, all inclusive within the base product. Let's go on to slide 16. We'll now take a look at how Application Time Facility works. On slide 17, we have a list of several of the examples of using Application Time Facility, being able to simulate dates past, present, or future. back to January 1st, 1900, all the way through December 31st, 2039. You can specify an absolute date and time, as you see an example here, January 1st, 2006 at 12:30, or you can use a relative date and time, going forward from the current system date and time, any number of days, any number of hours or minutes, backward or forward. Unique to the CICS environment is an independent time clock, which is a running clock that's set up at the time of installation or can be set up at any time, which keeps the running clock for situations where you may have shops in multiple time zones. We may have an office in New York, another one in Los Angeles. I have my system time in New York. I can keep an independent time clock of -3 hours for the Los Angeles office, in which case it keeps that clock running. I don't have to worry about what time is it now, what is this current system date and time that's picked up by the system, and we take away 3 hours from that current time. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 18. Application Time Facility will mimic the MVS requests for date and time. And in fact, any way that the system or the application is asking for date and time, whether it's a store clock, exec CICS ask time, those items will be intercepted by Application Time Facility. You'll see a picture of this coming up. We'll read what the system comes back with for current date and time and replace that with whatever the user has requested. And in fact, going to the next slide, slide 19, you have a picture of what takes place when an application calls for the current date and time. Without Application Time Facility, the request goes directly to the CPU and is returned back to the application with the current system date and time. When ATF is installed, the request goes through Application Time Facility, then onto the Z-Server platform or the mainframe. The result is passed back to Application Time Facility, which will replace the current system date and time with whatever is requested by the user for that application. On the next slide, slide 20, we see an example of CICS. The same situation applies here. The application makes its call to ATF, which passes that along to the CICS region. CICS returns the date and time to Application Time Facility, which replaces current system date and time with whatever the simulation request is. On to the next slide, slide 21. We have a few more examples here of ways of calling for system date and time. You notice the store clock sync macro. Of course, any calls to get system date and time, those can all be intercepted, and regardless of environment and language. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 22, where we'll take a look at actual screen images within Application Time Facility and show you just how easy it is to set up a request for simulation. Going on to slide 23, we show that there are multiple ways of communicating with Application Time Facility. There are actually two interfaces on the batch side. There's an ISPF interface where you bring the product up under your TSO ISPF user address, or you can create a request for date and time simulation within your JCL time stream or job stream. Also within CICS, there is an online interface, and we'll take a look at both. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 24. We have an example here of an ISPF primary menu, and you'll see at the bottom of the panel, or toward the bottom, there's a selection for Application Time Facility. So it's just a matter, as with all ISPF-based products, where you can select an entry from a panel and be taken to the application, which takes us to slide 25. Here we see the primary menu of Application Time Facility under ISPF. There are a number of different options here. We're going to focus in on browsing and editing the virtual clock data set. The virtual clock data set is where ATF holds all of the requests for changes of system date and time. We would do an edit to be able to create a new request for a date or time simulation. So assuming that we enter an E, go to the next slide. This is slide 26. We can see within the virtual clock data set a list of all of the requests that have already been set up. You'll notice that there are many of them. We have names as the first column, the type indicating whether it's coming from a TSO user ID, a job stream, started task, IMS. We then go on to identify the requested date and time for simulation. Now, you'll notice that on some of these entries, there are asterisks. Asterisks indicate current system date and or time. The first entry we have on this panel shows that we want to simulate a new system date of March 10th, 2007, with a new system time of 3 o'clock. As you go down further, you see that the second request is for February 1st, 2007. The asterisk indicates that we want to use the system time. Whatever is returned to system time will remain that way. Let's go on to the next slide. If I were to issue either a primary command of add or a line command of A, I would be taken to this next screen that you see, which allows me to create a new simulation request. In this case, for job or application name, I'm using a wildcard. I want any job that starts with the character Z and ends with any other characters. It is a job rather than started task, TSO user ID, or IMS, or CICS environment. I want to simulate a new system date as of February 29th, 2007, so we can test for leap year. For system time, I want to use whatever the current system time is. I can also choose to enable or disable any request for a simulation of date or time, which means I don't have to worry about manually deleting entries within the virtual clock data set. If I don't want to use that simulation, I simply disable. If I want to reuse it again, I come back in and enable. Once I've set that up, PF3 allows me to get back. Let's go on to slide 28, where we have an example of a request for date and time simulation set up within the execution JCL. You'll notice that within the job stream, we have a new program that we're executing called TICON. We're turning on the date and time simulation of application time facility. On the SysNDD, the in-stream data, we have a virtual date showing January 1st, 2007, with a virtual time request of 18:05, using military time, 6:05 p.m. Now, this can be set up at the very beginning of the job stream, and this date and time simulation will continue on through the end of the job or until it finds a step turning off application time facility. I believe we'll see an example of that a little bit later. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 29. Here we see another example of a date format change within the job stream. There are a number of different formats that are available for system time simulation. Here we're going to use date format 4, and I'll show you just a little bit what the different formats look like. The virtual date that we want to replace is for January 29th, 2007, slightly different format than what we saw on the previous panel. We also want to change the virtual time to go forward 1 hour from whatever the current system time is. And you'll see on this example, the last step within the job stream is turning off the application time facility. Let's go on to the next slide, please. Slide 30 is going to show the various date formats that are available. There are 5 different date formats that can be invoked within Application Time Facility. Going on to the next slide, slide 31, we also have support within native CICS for Application Time Facility. Let's go on to the next slide. We identify here that you have a great deal of control over setting up your date and time simulation. It can be done across the entire region for every transaction that runs, every program that executes. You can have that date and time simulation invoked by Application Time Facility, but you can also limit the simulation by transaction ID, terminal ID, and user ID. Let's go on to the next slide, where we see an example of the primary menu within Application Time Facility CICS. Similar to what we had in Batch, you still have browsing and editing of the virtual clock data set. That virtual clock data set can be used in both Batch and CICS, or you can choose to have separate data sets for the different environments. Implementation is completely up to the user. We go on to the next slide, please. Slide 34, showing within the CICS environment the virtual clock data set with the various entries that have already been created. Similar to what we had in Batch, we identify here, because of the nature of CICS, the terminal ID, transaction ID, and user ID for the request for that date and time simulation. Now, I mentioned a little bit earlier that there is something within CICS called an independent time clock, which is a running clock based off of a number of hours or days forward or backward from the existing system date and time. The first several entries within this data set all show independent time clocks that have been created. We also identified, just as with Batch, the date and time that we want to simulate, and you'll notice that there are a couple of entries within the date column that will reference back the independent time clock. Now, the first one we see is for London. So whatever we set up for London is what we want to use for non-terminal related transactions. Going on to the next slide, slide 35, we're going to see an example of creating a new simulation request within the CICS environment. We're adding a new virtual clock dataset entry using the A line command, which will use that existing request as a model to allow me to reduce the keystrokes to issue this request. Going on to the next slide, slide 36, we see setting up the virtual clock edition by terminal ID, transaction ID, once again being able to use asterisks as wildcards, user ID, the date that we want to use for simulation, and the time going forward 1 hour. We want to enable or disable, just as we could in Batch. In CICS, we can choose to keep this entry or remove it for future CICS startups. So again, the user has complete control. Going on to slide 37. Here we see an example of creating an independent time clock entry. We're going to call the clock Far East. We want to use the existing system date, which is why we have the asterisk, and we want to use a time of plus 1 hour, going forward 1 hour from the current system date. We will enable and keep this across multiple CICS startups. Going on to the next slide, slide 38, we have an example of using the independent time clock that we just created to create another request for simulation. This is for terminal 51. For any transaction that's run from this terminal, any user ID associated, we want to use Far East as our starting point for date simulation and go forward 1 hour from whatever was defined for that time clock entry. Let's go on to the next slide, please, slide 39. The same thing can be done within DB2 applications. There really is no change here from the Batch or from what you would do in CICS. DB2 doesn't require any extra coding. This can be done within the ISPF interface, CICS interface, or within Execution JCL. Going on to the next slide, slide 40. We'll talk about a couple of other topics, additional topics, one of them being security. Let's go on to slide 41. I mentioned a little bit earlier that there is existing security that Application Time Facility will pick up. Any existing security package that you have in-house can be used with Application Time Facility. You can set security by job class or job name. You can also create your own security exit. There is a user exit within Application Time Facility that can be coded up by the user to add security above and beyond what your normal security package would provide. Let's go on to the next slide, please. Here we have a website that you can access to download information about any of the IBM application development tools. with that, I'd like to hand this back to Dan. Dan?
Thank you, Al. Going to slide number 43, in summary, what we've done today is we have identified what daylight saving time change is, what is the potential impact to our customers, what is IBM doing in regard to daylight savings time, and what should each customer do in regard to a daylight saving time. That would include either testing your applications in advance of the change or using the ATF product to simulate a time that would be going forward. Going to slide number 44, will daylight saving time be an issue for you? Some of the questions you may want to ask yourself. Daylight saving time used to be on April 2nd, and now in 2007, it will occur on March the 11th at 2 a.m. going forward. Will you be able to IPL or reset the system clock for all systems and subsystems? The next question, have you tested all the critical applications in advance that will be started or running on March 11th between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m.? And lastly, just so you know in advance, the daylight saving time change in spring, March the 11th, is only the first step. In fall, the daylight saving time used to be October 29th and will now be on November the 4th. This date will be even more critical to test for since it overlaps an hour. Do you think you have tested for this already? Going to slide number 45, if the application time facility can help you, you should contact your IBM ZSSR or AD sales specialist for more information. In the middle of the screen, you can see the PID number. And also, this product, as you can see, allows you to quickly test your Z applications with IBM's time facility prior to that March 11th date. And then we also have included the website or URL for the daylight saving time issue. And if you require further assistance, you can contact PJ Barron, who is the business unit executive for these tools. And you can see her email address as well as her office phone number, and as well as Brad O'Brien. I'd now like to turn it back over to the operator for polling questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will conduct a brief electronic survey. After I finish reading the entire question and all of the possible responses, please answer by firmly pressing the star key followed by the number on your touch-tone phone that corresponds to your choice. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. There will be a brief pause between each question to allow everyone a chance to respond. And now let's go to our first question. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's teleconference. Star 1 for high, star 2 for medium, star 3 for low. And please stand by while we allow everyone a chance to signal. Question 2. Based on the information you heard today, do you think your company might have an issue with daylight savings time? Star 1 for yes. Star 2 for no. And we'll pause just a moment. And question 3. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information on application time facility. Star 1 for yes, star 2 for no. And we'll pause for just a moment. That concludes today's electronic survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask your question, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone at any time. Once again, that is star 1 on your telephone if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I will turn the call over to our speakers while we wait for questions.
Hey, I just want to thank everyone once again for attending. I think we went a little faster than normal. But if you have any questions, feel free to ask them now. And if for some reason, for privacy reasons, you don't want to, near the end of the presentation, this is PJ Barron. That is my email address on the back page. It's pbaron@us.ibm.com. Feel free to email me. Any questions?
And we'll take a question from Lane Kelly.
Hello, PJ. I have two parts. One is, how much is the cost for this? And what is the time of installing the product in ISPF?
The first part, we probably should take offline because there's over 200 folks on the phone. And what we can do is, based on your MSUs, run a quick pricing for your particular company and give you that information.
So there is a cost?
There is a cost for the application time facility, yes. And I will let Al answer the second part of the question.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question one more time?
The question is, how long does it take to set up the application to run on your ISPF environment?
Installation and customization should probably take no more than about half a day. It's an SMP installable product, which pretty much just drops right in, and there's very little customization that needs to be done.
Anything further, Mr. Kelly?
No, that's it.
And our next question comes from Phil Noblis with American Express.
Hi. I actually have several questions. Let me start with the last one I wrote down. With regard to separation of duties with for this powerful tool, how might one give different edit authority for the table, you know, to one group and separate execution authority to a different group and keep the two functions separated?
I would imagine you could use your existing security package based off the data set name. Certain IDs would have update access and others would only have read access. Is that what you were looking to do?
So to call the time in ATF doesn't require them to write?
Oh, I'm sorry. If it's just a matter of whether they have the authority to invoke application time facility to simulate a new system date,
right.
that would and probably should be controlled by the authority to who can update the execution JCL. Now, there are a couple of different ways of doing this. One way, in the situation that you're describing here, would be to allow the programmers, certain programmers, to update the JCL to incorporate the date and time simulation within the job stream of the execution JCL. Once there's an entry within the application, the virtual clock data set, that's not a requirement for them to put it in the JCL. It would be picked up. But if you want to override that, it sounds like you want to have some additional security set up on there. You could do it in the method I was describing where you don't enter a request within the virtual clock data set. Instead, allow the programmers to enter their request directly within to the execution JCL. And that is going to control who can invoke application time facility.
Thank you.
Sure. You said you had a couple of questions?
Mr. Noblis, do you have any more questions?
Yes.
Okay. Please go ahead.
Are edit changes to the virtual clock data set logged?
I'm not aware of any logging that may take place. There may be an update within the SMF records or RMF records. I would need to check on that, so let me make a note of that. and then we should be able to get back to you. Okay.
Any further questions?
I do, if you have the time.
Sure.
Certainly.
Can the ATF product be installed and run at the cisplex level? Or can it run crossplexes?
Yes.
A single copy?
You should be able to, yes. If you're defining a cisplex environment, you should be able to share any simulation requests across multiple CPUs.
My last question is, what happens to date and timestamp logging in system functions and when the environment is under ATF control?
Once the request for date and time has been sent to the CPU, it comes back, it's intercepted by ATF. In terms of any logging, I believe that, here again, I'm not positive on exactly when the logging takes place, whether it's at the request for date and time or through the execution of the application. I don't know.
What we can do is anyone that registered with their email address, what we'll do is we'll type that question up and shoot out the answers to everyone that registered that way. And if you particularly want to, just send the question again to my email and we'll make sure we get it answered.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Barry Baker with Alpha Insurance.
Hey, PJ. PJ, is ATF and TikTok one and the same, or is that two different products that work?
They are absolutely used to be one and the same. We acquired Isagon, which had TikTok, the product, and we have what we call Blue Wash. We've made it all IBM, like all the other IBM tools with S&P installed and so forth. And a new release of the product will be coming out a little bit later in the year. So anybody that owns TikTok, you can call me one-on-one, and we'll work to transition your license over to the application time facility. TikTok is no longer being sold, though.
Okay. That's what I need. Thank you, PJ.
And once again, that is star one if you have a question at this time. We'll move now to Philip West with People's Energy Corporation.
Hello there. I have a couple of questions. Number one, regarding the virtual clock data set. How is the search order in that data set handled specifically? Wonder if you have two mutually exclusive rules set up. I think you gave an example of jobs that may start with Z star, and if you had another rule that had a job starting with Z1 star, would they compete against each other, or is there a search order there?
There is a search order, and it's based on the amount of detail you provide. So in your example where you have Z asterisk and you have Z1 asterisk, the Z1 asterisk would override the Z asterisk. It's got more detail to it.
Okay, regardless of the position in the data set itself?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And the second one question I have is, does it interface with the Unix BPX batch utility? Will it have any impact on that?
I don't know the answer to that one. We're going to have to check into that.
Okay. That's all I had. Thank you.
And a final reminder, that is star one if you have a question. We'll go now to Amal Goarau with New Jersey Transit.
When we set up the time for CICS, is it be affected until the transaction also? It's like, for example, if CICS region starts up with this simulated time, can the transaction run on the same time that we adjusted?
What's going to happen if you don't specify a terminal or transaction ID or user ID, you're just saying for the entire region, I want to create a simulation for this date and time, then regardless of what transaction is running, every transaction, every program that's trying to get system data is going to have the simulation of the system data.
Of the system data. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay.
And there again, if I may, that goes back to one of the questions that came up earlier. If you have multiple entries within the virtual clock data set, one of them saying asterisk, which means for this entire CICS region, I want to simulate this date and time, and then you specify an individual transaction or group of transactions, let's say ABC asterisk, that would override the default. If you have a separate date and time you want to use for those specific transactions, Application Time Facility would pick up that new simulation specifically for those transactions, but for any other transactions running, it would take the default value for the entire system. So it runs on the hierarchy.
Okay.
And we'll return to Lane Kelly.
I guess those will go to Brad. Following up on the Unix question, for remote transactions that are using Java, DRDA, et cetera, from workstations that are coming in to the ZBox, are those affected as well?
And again, I'm not sure what is going to happen on the Unix side.
Well, it's not just from Unix. It could be AIX. It could be your workstation, because we have lots of applications that run Java at different platform levels. So I wanted to expand it not just from Unix, but more broader, since we have other types of environments that connect to the ZBox.
So you're accessing the Z platform from these other environments.
Correct.
Okay.
So, like, I mean, for example, for like DB2, you've got a control station, you got the opportunity to make changes to tables per se, which leads into my second question, which is recovery. As far as, and I don't know if that falls back to the log scenario, how you do roll forward and roll backs based on certain scenarios, and the fact that you're mixing time with regular applications that are running normally, that are using the same logs, because if you're using, like, for instance, DB2 has its own logs. The system also has its own logs. And when you're changing the time like that, how do they handle the mixture of those times ending up in a log so that you can do a roll forward or roll back? So in other words, I want to do the change. I see the result of the change. Now I want to just hit roll back. I don't want to keep it.
You would do that the way you normally would. The Application Time Facility doesn't really get involved in the commits or the rollbacks. All it's doing is saying, okay, I'll simulate this new system date for you, so the results of whatever you're trying to do will have that new system date processing.
But under the covers, it's going to keep the current timestamp that you're running normally.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
So if you do want to roll back, it rolls back to whatever occurred before the execution.
Right, so it takes your before image regardless of what that data is.
Exactly.
Right, okay, thank you.
Sure.
And it appears we have no further question. Ms. Barron, I'll turn the conference back over to you for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. Again, great questions. Thank you for being real interactive. We know this is a critical time with the government changing the regulation, first time in 20 years. And we're glad we were able to share this information with you. We have the spring forward date right now. And remember, in November, it might be a little more complicated with the fall back. So we'll make sure that we reach out to you. If anyone feels that they need to jump on this right away, obviously we have the polling results. We'll see in a day or so. But if you want to move quickly, especially the gentleman that asked the pricing question, send me an email. I just need to know either your CPU model numbers, the full coding for that, or the total number of MSUs, and we'll have one of the representatives let you know what that pricing structure would be. And we are set up to move very quickly. For anyone that needs this, we can get the software FTP'd and have a webcast with you to get you up and rolling immediately. Thank you very much.
That does conclude today's IBM conference call. Once again, we thank you for your participation.